All right, so we are still talking about the person of Holy Spirit. Say Holy Spirit. A couple of weeks ago, I began teaching and I taught what I would consider the first part of this about the person of Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to do a brief review, but get us into the place where I believe he has for us for today. And so one of the things that the Lord shared with me that I spoke last time, 2 weeks ago, is that he told me that there is a strong deception, strong delusion, and strong illusion coming upon the earth. And it's not from him, but the enemy's trying to bring strong deception, strong delusion, and strong illusion. Now, from that time to today, I'm sure if you've been watching the news, you're seeing it with all of these release of files, and now people are talking about stuff, and pastors have been talking about how do we prep our congregations for these release of files and all those things. And people are wondering if faith is going to be shaken, and they're using terms like interdimensional beings, and all of these things are happening. And so we see strong delusion. Delusion is a false belief or judgment about an external reality that's held despite the evidence to the contrary. So we see that happening right now. We also see the illusion, which is a false perception belief, a misleading impression of reality, something that deceives the senses or the mind. And so we are in this time where we see this delusion, this illusion, and this deception. Holy Spirit told us in the last days there will be seducing spirits that will be released that would try to draw people away from the faith, and that they would give heed to doctrines of, the scripture says, devils, demonic doctrines. Doctrines are not just teachings, but they are belief systems and ways of life and ways of applying faith. So there can be deceiving spirits trying to cause people to live a life of faith contrary to the actual life of faith that God has aligned for us. And so in this season, I mean every season, but especially now, it's important to know Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not an it. He is not a force. He is the Spirit of God. Many theologians and Bible scholars will say Holy Spirit is the power of God. They will say that Jesus is the Word and Holy Spirit is the power of God. But to call Holy Spirit the power of God would be to lessen who he is. Holy Spirit brings the power of God. He expresses the power of God. But he is greater than some force or power. He is the Spirit of God that is drawing us and longs to be intimate with us. Holy Spirit speaks. He can be grieved. He exercises power as he wills. The scripture in Corinthians said that he distributed gifts as he wills. And so sometimes, I know I crack jokes sometime about not having a singing gift, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit's will to give me a singing gift. Sometimes I'll say I must have been getting nachos when they were passing that one out. But sometimes we can look at other people's gift and want their gift, but really God wants us to look at him and to desire to cultivate what he gave us. And you can have a similar gift to somebody, but it still functions differently because of how Holy Spirit has willed you to function. He is the one who makes the decisions about our lives. Jesus is Lord, and so is Holy Spirit. It's not blasphemy to say that. Because the scripture says that he sent the Spirit of his Son. So when you're talking about Holy Spirit, you're talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he is the Spirit of the Word. But he is distinct in personality, characteristics, and operation. Holy Spirit has been in operation from the beginning, because it says in the beginning was the Word. And we see Holy Spirit in Genesis 1. It said darkness covered the earth, but he hovered over the deep. In the Old Testament, Holy Spirit was speaking, and he would come upon people, and then he would depart. In the New Covenant, because of the blood of Jesus, Holy Spirit comes upon and lives within, and he never departs. Which is why, you know, I shared last time that when we read the Old Testament, we have to read it in context and in light of the finished work of the cross. So when you read and David says, you know, don't take your spirit from me, we understand the heart cry David was having in that moment and the reality David understood because he saw Holy Spirit depart from Saul. And when Holy Spirit departed from Saul, Saul went crazy, just for lack of better terms. He was he would have David come play so he could experience the presence of God and then throw a javelin at him. And so Saul was acting very mentally unstable because Holy Spirit had departed. And David was like, I don't want to be like that. Don't cast me from your presence. Don't remove your spirit. But in the new covenant, say new covenant, because of the blood of Jesus, thank God, Holy Spirit lives in us and he never leaves. John 14 and 16 says this, Jesus is speaking to the disciples and he's speaking to us because he knew we would read it. And just as a caveat, I have to pause. You must trust in the validity of the word. Right now, people are trying to say there are 42 lost pages of the Bible. And right now, people are trying to promote what they are calling the Ethiopian Bible, which has extra books in it that are not scripture. So you have to be very, very careful. Because one of the things what people will do is they would try, not people, the enemy would try to do, is try to make other writings equal with the word. Because remember, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So if you're reading the book of Enoch and then reading the book of John and trying to coincide, it's going to open you up to something you don't want to be open to. So you need to stick with the scripture. Because when Jesus was speaking, he was speaking to them in their context, but speaking to us in ours as well. Because of Holy Spirit. So he was speaking to us, and he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Say forever. Holy Spirit never leaves. When we leave this earth, we will still be with Holy Spirit, and he will still be with us. And the key word is another, meaning the same way Jesus is in the same way he was with the 12 and with the 72 when he was walking the earth. That is the same way we are with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit gives us the ability to encounter God in a personal way, the same way the disciples did. We can often see, you know, shows like The Chosen, or we can read scripture and think, man, I would have loved to have walked with Jesus like that, to seen him do that. But we have that same opportunity right now to walk with Jesus like that. And that word helper in the Greek means paraclete. It refers to one called to come alongside and help. I think it's very interesting that husbands, you know, wives were created to be a help, to come alongside. And then Holy Spirit, they function to the man the same way Holy Spirit functions to us. As y'all see what I'm saying? And so this is why women are valuable in the kingdom. They're not less than. Some people have misinterpreted scripture and tried to use it for male dominance, but that's not how that works. But that word helper, paraclete, also refers to comforter, advocate, intercessor, and guide. Holy Spirit is our comforter, our advocate, our intercessor, and our guide. The scripture in verse 17 says, he is the spirit of truth, the spirit of the word, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him. Say, I know him. I know him. You know him because he abides with you and will be. The spirit is in me. He's in you right now. This is why I shared last time, and I say all the time, you don't have to ask Holy Spirit to come. He's already come. And he wrote down when he came. because all scripture is God-breathed and written by inspiration of Holy Spirit. So he came and wanted us to know he already came, so he had them write it down in Acts 2, he came. So when people say, Holy Spirit, come, it's a passionate heart cry of the soul, but it doesn't move anything in the realm of the spirit. Because Holy Spirit already came. This is why we're intentional to acknowledge the presence of God and to thank him for being here with us, speaking to us, speaking through us, leading us, teaching us. Look at verse 25 in John 14. It says this. I know I'm going fast because this part is kind of review. Jesus said, "These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you." Now, he used the same word abiding that he was abiding with them in that moment as the same word as abiding in verse 17 when he said that Holy Spirit abides with us. Same experience. He said, "I spoke these things while abiding with you." And then he says, "But the helper, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father would send in my name, he would teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." Holy Spirit is the teacher. You can sit with him and ask him to teach you something, and he will actually teach you that thing. I know we go to school. I know we get online and we do online courses and we do all those things. But is it possible that Holy Spirit wants to take you beyond what you can learn from someone else and take you to the space of what you can only learn from him? A lot of people ask me, and I get this question all the time, and I almost have to prerequisite the answer because people ask me, "How do I tap into the supernatural like that?" And I would tell, "What books can I read?" And the first thing I tell them, I said, "I don't want you to think I'm being some type of way. You need to read the scripture. Allow Holy Spirit to teach you. And if there are any supplemental resources, he'll lead you to them." See, a lot of times we would trust in the experience of people before we even ask Holy Spirit to teach us a thing. And sometimes something is working in the life of an individual, but it might not work that exact same way for you because their grace and their calling is different. Your assignment is different. This is why we have to be careful copying frameworks and strategies and, this is what they said, this is what they did, so I'm going to do that same thing. And it might not work for you. And then you get mad because you're not seeing the results they saw. Well, Holy Spirit has a different calling and assignment for you. So what's going to work for you is going to be in alignment with how he's designed you and what he's called you to do. He said he would teach us all things. Say all. Meaning he would teach you everything you need to know. He may lead you to learn from someone because he's teaching through them, but he would teach you everything you need to know if you let him. This is why when Paul was teaching, he said, "I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of Holy Spirit and power." Why? So your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men. Our faith has to be in Jesus. It has to be in Holy Spirit. And when we allow him to teach us, our faith rests in him and not in the excellence or the wisdom or the intelligence of other people. Jesus said in John 16 and 7, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Now notice, because that might sound confusing, because he just said the Father would send. But now he's saying he sends. That's just connecting the fact that God is one God. But he said it's to our advantage. Meaning that in life, you have an advantage that other people don't have because Holy Spirit is walking with you and living in you and upon you. You have an advantage. This is why nothing can touch you that's not supposed to. This is why when you say enough is enough, then nothing evil has the right to come near you. I was telling a story the other day, Friday. I was honored to be on Janice's radio program, and I was telling this story about how I was in my room and I was just engaging in expressions of worship. So I'm sitting there in my room on the keys, just doing my thing by myself. And because I'm by myself, I'm singing, you know. And I don't sing when Val there, because I never know what that's going to sound like when I'm singing. So the Bible says make a joyful noise. So I know I can make that joyful noise unto the Lord. So I'm singing and I'm playing, though. And I got to this space in the presence of where the presence of God was just so tangibly thick. And I saw this glimmer at the corner of my right eye. Now, typically, when you see a glimmer like that, a lot of times it's angelic movement. It's a sign of the angels that are in the room. Because you know there are always angels with you, right? God has assigned angels to you. They came when you were born. They walk with you your entire life. They escort you back to heaven when you leave. And I know people have been teaching that everybody doesn't have an angel. That's them misinterpreting scripture. Or not interpreting scripture at all in some cases. And so a lot of times I know, okay, that's angelic movement. Like right now I sense there's angelic movement in this space. And I was like, and so what I've learned to do is to acknowledge. Because the thing about Holy Spirit and the things of God and the glory of God, when you acknowledge, it postures you to receive and experience the more. And so I said, so I learned to say, Father, I thank you for the angelic activity I just saw. And I just kept going. And then the Lord spoke and said, that wasn't an angel. And so I knew it was a manifestation of the presence of God. Now, and if I would have been in a different place in my walk with God, some would have said, well, when God said it wasn't an angel, then that could have been a demon. But I know where I am with Jesus. And I know demons don't even have permission to step on my property. They can't even touch my grass. Listen, some things can walk down the street if they want to, and they're going to have to beeline right around my property because of the blood of Jesus. And because the Bible says angels encamp around me, so how are they going to get through? And so because I know that and I'm conscious to acknowledge his presence, my mind didn't go to superstition thinking it was a demon. It recognized the supernatural. Oh, that wasn't an angel. That was you? I'm like, thank you, Jesus. And then I wanted to do a study. I should have done a Chris. More, Lord, more, Lord. So when you have this time with God and you acknowledge his presence, you're going to experience him in ways that you have desired to and have read about. But it comes with acknowledging Holy Spirit and approaching him by revelation of the word. And so let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says this. This is a very, very familiar passage of scripture. We hear people quote it all the time. We probably don't even have to read it because people quote it in the King James all the time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, the King James says, and he will direct your paths. We grew up quoting that one. But look at this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. New American Standard says he will make your path straight. Now, For him to make our path straight, we could look, let's break this down. Let's pretend like we're in school. For him to make your path straight, that second part of that verse, what is the catalyst of having straight, aligned pathways? What is the cause of that? Acknowledging him. Straight paths is the effect. The cause is acknowledging him. We should be acknowledging Holy Spirit. And that causes, that acknowledgement postures us to walk in alignment and fulfill purposes and destiny. Are you seeing it? And then we don't just acknowledge him in some ways. It says we must acknowledge him in all our ways. Meaning that the potential for misalignment happens when we acknowledge Holy Spirit partially. And this is what happens sometimes with believers. We will acknowledge him in a gathering like this on a Sunday. I mean, people don't gather on Wednesdays that much no more. Well, on a Wednesday, but then they will go Monday through Friday. They will go to work and not think about him until it's time to pray. They would talk to him in their prayer time. They'd read their devotional and they'd give the sigh of you know how we do when we got a good word. And then they don't think about him. And I heard this statistic that it said 80% of working believers don't acknowledge him when they're dealing with a problem in their workplace. And so we could go through life on autopilot or lean into our own understanding instead of pausing to acknowledge Holy Spirit. And so when we acknowledge him in everything, that's why verse 5 says, don't lean or depend on your understanding. So it's a matter of trust in God to not depend on your own understanding, your own intelligence, but to trust that when you acknowledge him, he's going to give you supernatural strategy and direction. But that comes from acknowledging Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you. And this is the posture Samuel had when he was learning to hear the voice of the Lord. We know Samuel, when he was born because his mom was praying, and at first she couldn't give birth. And then Eli thought she was drunk, but she was praying, and then he spoke a blessing over her. And then she got pregnant, she gave birth, and she dedicated him back to God. So now Samuel is living and in the temple of God, but then there's this climate around him with Eli's sons who are supposed to be fulfilling the duties of the priest, but wasn't. They were having relations with the temple women. And that's the only way I'm going to say that, because we got some youth in here. But we know what relations means. They were, when the during the offering was come, and there in the sacrificial meat had to be boiled, and there was a thing that said they could stick their fork in, and then after a certain portion would be for the priest, but the rest would be to the Lord. They were trying to take, or were taking, what was offered to the Lord for themselves. So when we hear about scandals in the body of Christ of people having relations or misusing and abusing the office that they walk in, not walking holy in the office, not fearing God in their office, we see is not new. But for me, I wonder, how could you do that? You wasn't scared? And especially under the Old Testament with no grace, they wasn't scared. So that was the climate that Samuel was around, but it didn't impact him, because 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1 says the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord, meaning he was serving and kept his focus on God. See, even in a climate that's anti-Christ, you can focus on God and not allow the culture to shape you, but you shape it. He was ministering to the Lord before Eli, meaning he wasn't, it wasn't like he was sucking up to Eli, but he was serving God before Eli. He recognized his assignment was to be there with Eli. Even though Eli had a fault and didn't check his sons, the scripture says he corrected them one time, but they kept doing it. And God gave a word and said, listen, you honored them above me. See, sometimes as a parent, it can be challenging when your children are doing something they ain't supposed to do, and you want to love them and tell them, I'm here for you, but then you got to still tell them, we ain't on this foolishness. This ain't happening. And if you're going to do that, I'm going to love you, but I'm not going to help you do it. And you ain't do it up in here. And some people will say, no, you're not being a good parent. No, I'm being a godly parent. Being a godly parent means you have to uphold the standards of the word in your household. You have to be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will. When my daughter had moved back in with us briefly while she was in college, we set a standard. You ain't coming in and out of this house all type of night. And she was like, I'm in college. I have a curfew. Because you live in my house. When you pay your own rent and your own lights and your own internet. Listen. Because you have a standard for what you come into agreement with. Recently, I told a relative that's older than me, so you know you have to show honor to your elders. But I told this relative is coming out of state and said, hey, I want to come visit. I want to come see your daughter, come see, you know, your grandbaby. And I'm like, cool. And then I said, and he was like, I might bring this young lady he's dating. I'm like, cool. And I'm like, but I just want you to know, you ain't sleeping in the same bed in my house. We got space, but what's going to happen is y'all going to be separate. Because if you doing the marriage dance and you ain't married, you not having opportunity in my house, I'm not opening any doors for demonic attack because I came into agreement with your stuff. If you want to do that, stay at the hotel. We'll pick you up and go to Cheesecake Factory or something. But Eli failed to do that, and so now he's in the house of God, and Samuel's there. So the scripture says that in those days, verse 1 and 1 Samuel 3, it says, and the word of the Lord was rare, visions were infrequent. See, a culture and climate of sin and disregard of Holy Spirit will make visions, dreams, and words rare. When there are spaces when he is not honored, it'll be rare that you see the gifts in operation, that maybe a headache could be healed and that's it. You won't see somebody get raised from the dead or a limb grow out or any of those things that we talk about the miraculous. You rarely see words of knowledge or words of wisdom because Holy Spirit is not acknowledged. And what you get is a dry program where you can predict exactly what's going to happen every single time. And you might, you know, shout around a little bit. But God is breaking predictability. He's breaking and destroying programs. And he's telling me that's my 5-minute warning. See, this is what happened when you got a lot of stuff. So they were infrequent. But the Lord saw Samuel, who was seeking and ministering unto him in the temple. He was seeking from this pure place. He didn't allow Eli's sons to influence his behavior. And so now verse 3 says he's lying down in the temple where the ark was. We know the ark was the symbolic thing of the presence of God. He was resting in the presence. He had to be where the presence is. I felt that. I just have to be where the presence is. And even when we gather, we got to be where the presence is. When I'm at home, I have to have presence. And the more I steward presence at home, the easier it is to acknowledge what's happening in his presence here. I didn't come and say, take me in. I said, Holy Spirit, draw me, because you've been drawing me all week. You've been drawing me this whole season. You've been drawing us for months. So Samuel was laying there where the ark was, and it says the Lord called to Samuel, and he said, here I am, and he ran to Eli. Because he wasn't used to hearing the voice of God, and his voice was so rare in those days, so he thought it was Eli. Sometimes when Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, it may sound like someone else's voice at first, until you learn to distinguish it. Sometimes it'll sound like your own voice or your own thoughts, but you will learn to distinguish his voice because it's undeniable. And so he ran to Eli and said, here I am. Eli said, listen, I didn't call you, go lay down. The Lord is, verse 6 says he called him again. So Samuel gets up and runs to Eli again and say, look, here I am, you called me. And he was like, I ain't call you, my son, go lay down. I could picture that being, boy, go back to sleep. I ain't call you. But then here it is a third time. It says, verse 6, the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He said, I didn't call you, my son, lay down. Verse 7 said, now Samuel didn't know the Lord, for the word had not yet been revealed to him. Now, recognize this, that back and forth Samuel had, because he didn't know the Lord. But what did we see in John? We know him. You make the connection. Because you know him, because he's in you and with you, you can distinguish his voice. You don't have to be concerned. Is this my thought? Well, the thing that'll help you discern between your thoughts and Holy Spirit is the word. Because it says the word divides soul and spirit. Soul realm is where your thoughts come from. Your brain and your mind just processes those thoughts. So the third time he gets called in verse 8, then Eli finally discerned, I guess he finally woke up, and said, the Lord is calling. And he said, the next time, if he calls you again, to say, speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. So, verse 10, it says, the Lord came and stood and called as other times. When you read those other verses, it said he called. It didn't elaborate that he stood. But because this says, as at other times, we know those other times that he called, he came and stood. Could it be when Holy Spirit is calling your name and drawing you that he's standing right there in your room when he calls you? When he's saying, Chris, he's right there standing there. He said, Karima. He's standing right there. It's not like you saying, here I am, Lord, and he's far away. He comes and stands and calls your name. And Samuel did what he learned from Eli. He said, speak, for your servant is listening. Now, I want to submit to you that as Holy Spirit is drawing you, because remember, I challenged you last time to begin every day acknowledging the presence of God. To say, Holy Spirit, and specifically Holy Spirit, I acknowledge you. Now, could it be that as you acknowledge him, would you dare to do another step to say, speak, because I'm listening? Now, Samuel said your servant is listening, and we are all servants of God, right? We serve God. But even though we serve God, we're not really his servants. Jesus calls us his friends. in John 15 and 15, he said, no longer do I call you slaves or servants, for the slave doesn't know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. Everything that the Father has for us, Holy Spirit's responsibility, because we didn't get to look at that today, is to make it known to us. So when, as Holy Spirit is drawing, we could say and be biblically accurate, speak, Lord, your friend is listening. Friendship, God, gives us a higher level of conversation. Because Jesus said there are certain things that a servant won't know. But Jesus wants us to know everything that he has and wants to share with us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals those things to us. And so, but we have to recognize that we are friends. John 16 and 13 says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. Whatever he hears, he will speak. He will disclose to you what's to come. 1 Corinthians 2 and 10 says, for God revealed, well, verse 9, it says, but just as written, things that which eye has not seen, ears not heard, and which has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. We quote that, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. But we forget verse 10 where it says, for God revealed them. The things that no eye has seen or heard, God reveals through the Spirit. And that's talking about Holy Spirit. So no eye has seen or ear has heard, but God is revealing it to you through Holy Spirit, who searches everything, even the depths of God. Verse 12 says, we receive not the spirit of the world, but Holy Spirit, who is from God, so that we can know the things freely given. And as we listen, he will reveal the things that God has for us, the things he has for us. He will teach us. He will guide us. He will lead us in that moment. Not just in that moment, but really all of our lives. You receive that?